and Trudy realized her blouse and jeans were soaked with perspiration. "I need a shower," she said, wrinkling her nose at her own odor. "Yeah, everybody does after they've been outside." At that moment, the inner hatch of the airlock slid open, and a figure in a spacesuit tromped in. As he unsealed his helmet and pulled it off, Trudy recognized the darkly bearded guy with the sad eyes she'd seen on the screen in Professor Ulrich's office. "Hey, Grant," said Winston.
"Hello, Win."
This is Trudy Yost. She's going..."
"Hello," said Grant Simpson.
And he clomped past Trudy, heading for the corridor that led to Professor Ulrich's office, without bothering to take off his spacesuit. Professor Ulrich's office. Grant Simpson got as far as the corridor door, then realized he was being asinine. "You can't confront Ulrich in your spacesuit," he told himself. "That'd just confirm all his suspicions about you." Grimly, he turned around and clunked back to his personal locker. The young woman and Win Winston were standing a few lockers up, staring at him.
"Grant, this is Trudy Yost," Winston repeated. "She's a new postdoc."
Grant extended his hand, then realized it was still encased in the heavy glove of a spacesuit. He ripped the seal open, then pulled off his glove while Winston was saying,
"Dr. Yost, this is Grant Simpson, the assistant chief of the Mirror Lab's technical staff."
Grant clasped Trudy's hand briefly while he looked at her. "Nice face," he thought. "Wholesome. Little snub of a nose. Hair cut short. Greenish eyes."
"Good to meet you, Dr. Yost," he said.
She nodded, said nothing.
To Winston, Grant said, "Can you give me a hand with the suit, Win?"
"Sure thing."
Winston stepped behind him and began to disconnect Grant's backpack. Once that was done, he helped Grant lift the suit's hard-shell torso over his head and rested it in his locker.
"I'm in kind of a hurry," Grant said to Trudy. "I got to see the ulcer."
Trudy's eyes looked perplexed.
"Ulcer?"
Winston laughed shakily.
"That's Grant's pet name for the professor. Ulrich the ulcer."
"He doesn't get them," said Grant. "He gives them."
"Oh." She looked somewhere between amused and alarmed.
"I'm going to be Professor Ulrich's assistant, you know."
Settling himself on the bench in front of the lockers, Grant replied as he started to undo his dust-covered boots.
"Then you'll probably get an ulcer too, sooner or later."
She glanced at Winston, then said,
"I won't tell him that you call him that."
"Doesn't matter," Grant said. "He knows it. Everybody here at Farside calls him the ulcer."
Trudy seemed unsure of herself.
She looked toward Winston again, who merely shrugged. Then she said, almost apologetically,
"I've got to get to my quarters. I need a shower."
She started toward the door as if she were fleeing from danger. Over her shoulder, she said,
"It was nice to meet you, Dr. Simpson."
"Mr. Simpson," Grant called after her. "I'm not a PhD. I work for a living." Winston laughed nervously, then started after her.
"Her first day," he said.
"As if that explains anything," Grant thought. He sat wearily on the bench in front of his locker and unconsciously rubbed at the small of his back. It throbbed with a dull, deep, sullen pain. The ulcer was in a grim mood when Grant slid back the door to his office. Carter McClintock was already there. Why, Grant could not fathom. The man wasn't an astronomer, not an engineer, or even an administrator. He seemed to be nothing more than a visiting playboy, but somehow he was always at the ulcer's elbow. McClintock was about Grant's own age, but there the similarities ended. Where Grant was a compact middleweight with strong, stubby limbs, McClintock was tall, gracefully good-looking, smiling, and totally at ease. His job wasn't on the line. His neck wasn't in the noose.
"Come in, Simpson," said Professor Ulrich, his voice as cold and sharp as a dagger's blade.
Then he got a whiff of Grant's sweat-soaked clothes. As Grant took the seat across the table from McClintock, Ulrich's nose wrinkled. From behind his desk, he said stiffly,
"And where is Mr. Obermann? I expected him to be here with you."
"Nate's on his way," Grant said. "I phoned him while I was coming here." As if in response to his words, the office door slid back and Nate Obermann stepped through, looking wary, troubled. He was tall and lean, loose-jointed, with a long, square jaw and narrow, suspicious eyes. Although Obermann was Grant's immediate superior,
Grant had never warmed to the man. Nate didn't take his job seriously enough, Grant thought. He had a shrunken sense of responsibility, always ready to let Grant do the work while he lazed in the background. He didn't seem to really know very much about engineering. Grant wondered how he had gotten Ulrich to hire him for Farsight in the first place. Probably doctored his resume, Grant thought. Maybe he even got through college that way. Plenty of hackers ready to improve your record for a fee. The thing about engineering, though, is that sooner or later you have to make something work. You can't finesse your way through your entire career. The real world's caught up with Nate, Grant thought. Mr. Obermann, said Ulrich, his voice glacially cold. Obermann pulled up the chair next to McClintock and eased his lanky frame into it. I heard about the accident, he said, almost as lightly as if he were talking about the weather. The road you laid out was too difficult for the mirror to negotiate, said Ulrich. Shaking his head, Obermann countered, There's nothing wrong with the road. Grant should have been able to get the mirror across the mountain with no trouble. Looking as if he'd been forced to swallow a half-dozen lemons, Ulrich said, Yet the mirror fell off its carriage at one of the switchbacks that you designed. You approved the design, Obermann said. After you assured me that it was adequate, Ulrich retorted. Jabbing a finger across the table toward Grant, Obermann said, It's not my fault that he messed up. Probably took that switchback turn too fast, I bet. The pain in his back flared up again, and Grant felt his pulse thundering in his ears. Nate's dumping the blame in my lap, he told himself. And he realized it was nothing less than he'd expected from Obermann. He closed his eyes for a moment, telling himself to relax, don't get angry, be reasonable, rational, calm. Well, Mr. Simpson? Ulrich's voice cut through his mantra. Keeping his voice soft, tranquil, Grant said, I never exceeded the speed limits set by the transport plan. You can check the monitor's record at the excursion control center. I kept to the indicated speed limits. Then why did the mirror frame slip off the carriage? Ulrich demanded. Because the switchback was too tight for the carriage to negotiate, Grant said. Turning to Obermann, he said, Nate, I told you those curves were too sharp. I warned you we'd have trouble. So you're dumping it all on me? Obermann snapped. No, all I'm saying, angrily, Obermann screeched, My design was fine, perfect. The professor here okayed it. Suddenly Ulrich looked alarmed. I approved it only because you assured me it was satisfactory. McClintock broke in. Recriminations aren't going to help anything. It's not my fault, Obermann insisted. I did my job right. Grant screwed up. Grant fought down the urge to lean across the table and smack Obermann in his lying mouth. The fact remains, Professor Ulrich said, his voice quivering slightly with deadly anger, that the mirror is damaged, and it is your responsibility, Mr. Obermann. Not mine, Obermann insisted, pointing across the table again at Grant. His! Yours, Ulrich repeated. He took a deep breath, then said, I am relieving you of your position, Mr. Obermann. You're firing me? Yes. Obermann smiled maliciously. You can't fire me. I have a contract. I still have more than a month of employment coming to me, with salary and benefits. Ulrich stared at him blankly, then replied, Mr. McClintock will find some administrative assignment for you for the remainder of your contract. I don't want you involved in any of the technical work here. Grant felt stunned. He hadn't realized that the ulcer was so blazingly furious. Then he heard the professor say, Mr. Simpson, you will take over the leadership of the technical crew on a temporary basis. Obermann hauled himself up from his chair and glared at Ulrich. Okay, fine. I don't give a shit. I'll sit around here for another few weeks and twiddle my thumbs. At full salary? Why the fuck not? Then he turned back to Grant. Congratulations, backstabber. You've got what you wanted all along, haven't you? Job descriptions. Grant watched in stunned silence as Obermann slammed furiously out of the professor's office and banged the sliding door loudly shut behind him. The office fell absolutely still. Grant could hear the whisper of the air blowing softly through the ducts in the stone ceiling. I'm going to head up the tech team, Grant said to himself. Nate thinks I angled.